Hello, friends. Denny Pruto here to talk to you a little bit about God's sovereignty. All Bible-believing Christians believe that God is absolutely sovereign. The question comes as to how to understand this sovereignty. How is it that God works out His sovereignty in the world in which we live? The biblical approach, the true Christian approach given to us in the Bible, declares that God works out His sovereignty, or His sovereignty is expressed by means of His decrees. The Catechism asks this question: what are the decrees of God? The decrees of God are His eternal purpose, according to the counsel of His own will, whereby for His own glory He hath foreordained whatsoever comes to pass. Notice a couple of things about God's decrees. God's decrees amount to God's plan or God's purpose. Again, all Bible-believing Christians believe that God has a plan. And one of the objectives of the Christian is to determine God's plan for his or her individual life. We want to know what God's plan is for us. God does have a plan, and God's plan is expressed through His decrees. And God's decrees, or God's plan, encompasses whatever comes to pass. In other words, God's plan or God's decrees involve everything in the created universe. Nothing is excluded. God's plans and God's decrees involve human beings, involve angels, involve animals, involve plants, involve the rocks and the trees and the mountains and the rivers and the seas. God's plan and God's purpose involves everything. A couple of texts are helpful here. First of all, to affirm God's sovereignty overall. Psalm 103, verse 19. The Lord has established His throne in the heavens. His sovereignty rules over all. Another way to translate Psalm 103, verse 19 is His kingdom rules over all. But who is the king? God is the king. He is the sovereign ruler of the universe. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And as the creator of the heavens and the earth, God rules over all. Nothing occurs in His universe without His power or permission. And let's be clear on this matter. When God permits something to take place, it assuredly will take place. And so there's nothing different between saying God permits things to take place and God positively decrees things to take place. In either case, they will inevitably take place. We turn also to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 5. And He predestined us to sons through Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the kind intention of His will. We'll come to predestination in a moment. Ephesians 1:5 mentions predestination, but predestination takes place in accordance with God's will, God's predetermined plan. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 11. We have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to His purpose, according to His decrees according to his plan, according to his purpose, who works all things after the counsel of his own will. Everything in the universe takes place in accordance with the plans and the purposes of God. And you should remember this. The first heading under the sovereignty of God is the decrees of God, or God's plan. And God's plan involves everything that takes place in the universe, having to do with human beings, having to do with angels, having to do with animals, having to do with the birds of the sky and the fish of the sea, having to do with rocks and plants and mountains and the waters that cover the seas. Everything is encompassed within God's decrees or within God's plan. When we come to predestination, predestination is that part of God's plan that has to do with God's moral creatures. And that would mean human beings like us and angels. We are God's moral creatures. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world. God chose us in him. He predestined us in him. Also, we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined in him before the foundation of the world. Predestination has to do with God's moral creatures. And predestination is divided into two categories, election and reprobation. I already read verse 4 of chapter 1 of Ephesians. Let's read it again. He chose us in him before the foundation of the world. This is God's election. We were predestined, and this took place in the sovereignty of God, in the course of God's decrees, and this occurred before the foundation of the world. He chose us in him before the foundation of the world. And we say that reprobation is the other side of predestination. In election, God takes out of the fallen world a people for himself. And in reprobation, the great God of heaven simply passes by or allows individuals to remain in their fallen condition. Romans chapter 9 and verses 10 through 18. Listen to these tremendous verses given to us by God through the Apostle Paul. And not only this, there was Rebekah also, when she had conceived twins by one man, our father Isaac. For though the twins were not yet born, and had not done anything good or bad, so that God's purpose according to his choice would stand, not because of works, but because of him who calls, it was said to her, the older will serve the younger. Just as it is written, Jacob I loved, but Esau I hated. What shall we say then? There is no injustice with God, is there? May it never be. For he says to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I have compassion. So then, it does not depend upon the man who wills or the man who runs, but on God who has mercy. For the scripture says to Pharaoh, for this very purpose I raised you up, to demonstrate my power to you, and that my name might be proclaimed throughout the whole earth. So then, he has mercy on whom he desires, and he hardens whom he desires. In the case of Jacob and Esau, the scriptures say, Jacob I loved, and Esau I hated. What does this mean? It means that out of the mass of fallen humanity, God chose Jacob. Jacob was one of God's elect. Did God have some sort of visceral dislike and animosity toward Esau? No. The fact that the scriptures say, Esau I hated, means that God simply passed by Esau and did not impart to him saving grace. This was perfectly just. Verse 14, what shall we say then? There is no injustice with God, is there? May it never be. There is no injustice in God in electing some and passing by others. Election is on the basis of grace. The passing by of others and allowing others to wallow in their sins is simply a matter of justice. God does not have to elect anyone. God does not have to choose anyone out of the mass of fallen humanity. He does so merely on the basis of his mercy and grace. And that others suffer the due penalty for their sins in hell is perfectly just. They willfully sinned against God. This is the whole point in the fall of Adam and all of the sins of those who are Adam's children. We sinned in him and fell with him, and as a result, we all willfully turn our backs upon God. We are therefore responsible to God. And God does not have to take us out of fallen humanity and give us new hearts oriented toward him with a desire to follow him. God does not have to do that. It's not incumbent upon him to do that. It's perfectly just for God to pass us by and allow us to enter into hell and to suffer the penalty due to us for our own sins. Those who are the elect of God are elected on the basis of free grace. We owe nothing to God. We owe nothing to him. He is not bound to give us grace on the basis of something we have done. Not on the basis of works. We have nothing to boast about. And when heaven is ours, it is merely on the basis of God's free choice and of God's free grace. And then Romans chapter 9 and verse 17 says, for the scripture says to Pharaoh, for this very reason I raise you up, to demonstrate my power in you, and that my name might be proclaimed throughout the whole earth. So then, he has mercy on whom he desires, and he hardens whom he desires. It's in accordance with God's decrees or God's plan in predestination to elect some and to pass by others. He, as the scripture says, he has mercy on whom he desires. This is God's electing love. And he hardens whom he desires. Now, does God have to take positive action on Pharaoh or positive action upon you to harden your heart? Absolutely not. You are already in a condition of sin if you are outside of Christ. Your heart is turned against God. And unless God changes your heart and changes your disposition, you will follow a path into further hardness against God. And so what does God have to do in order to harden Pharaoh's heart and to harden your heart? Absolutely nothing. God simply needs to pass you by with regard to His saving grace. Predestination, therefore, involves God's election of some and the passing by of others. We call this double predestination, election and reprobation, clearly taught to us in the Scriptures. Now, here's the wonderful thing, friends. If indeed you are one of God's elect, you will know that this is the case by having a sincere faith in Jesus Christ the Lord. You will know that He died on the cross to pay the penalty due to you for your sins. And as a result of this, you will understand God's predestination, and that this predestination is a part of God's plan for you. You are therefore in the midst of properly understanding, that is, understanding in a biblical way, God's decrees or God's plan and God's sovereignty, the fact that He is the King and the Lord of all, and that He has you in the palm of His hands. There is no better place for you to be than in the hands of God, and to understand biblically the electing love of God and the fact that you are bound for heaven. If you have not experienced the electing love of God and you do not understand God's predestination and God's decrees, in fact, you may fight against this idea of predestination and God's decrees. You therefore do not properly understand God's sovereignty. You need to come to Christ. You need to seek the Lord while He may be found. You need to understand Him properly. You see, dear friends, the only way to properly understand the Bible and the sovereignty of God and the decrees of God and the predestination of God and God's election of love is to experience it through Jesus Christ. And the fact that the Bible presents this structure, this outline to you and me, does not prohibit me from urging you to turn to Jesus Christ and to follow Him. Turning to Jesus Christ and following Him and doing so throughout your life is what the Bible calls making your calling and election sure. That is, confirming it by your own actions. That is, if God has truly worked in your life, you will turn to Him and you will love Him. And what you do in following our God and following Jesus Christ will make your calling and election sure. That is, it will confirm the fact that you are an elect of God, that God's decrees in predestination and election include you, and you know God as the sovereign Lord and King of all. So here's how it falls out, friends. Divine sovereignty is a true biblical doctrine. Divine sovereignty is worked out in God's decrees or God's plan. God's plan for all things. God's plan for His moral creatures, including human beings, we call predestination. And predestination has two sides, election and reprobation. In election, God takes out of the mass of fallen humanity a people for Himself. In reprobation, God simply passes by others, passes them by, and does not give to them His electing love. Those who are the elect of God enter heaven on the basis of grace. Those who remain in the mass of fallen humanity and are the reprobate, as we call them, enter hell, not because of what God does to them, but on the basis of what they have done, that is, on the basis of their own sins. And they enter hell justly. Confirm your calling and election by turning to Jesus Christ and loving Him. And then you will understand properly and biblically God's sovereign plan in predestination and election. Come to Christ and serve Him. Thanks for listening.